didn't we have such a great Passion Week of last week? Starting from Good Friday with Pastor Jacob and Pastor John with Resurrection Sunday. But, you know, as I was, I had the privilege of being next right after Resurrection Sunday. So I was preparing a message, and I'm going to share the title of my message that was supposed to be. It was entitled, Do Not Go Back to the Grave. And as I was preparing this message, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and he said, why are you preaching about going back to the grave? You know, I had some great points, but he said, just the title alone, why are you talking about going back to the grave? And I said, Lord, forgive me. And he impressed on my heart this title. So I know this is for God. He says, not go back to the grave. He said, living in the power of the resurrection. Amen. I said, oh, that sounds much better than going back to the grave. I said, thank you, Holy Spirit, for pointing that out. And I just thank God that I had an ear to hear what the Spirit was saying. Because there's times where the Spirit is speaking to me, and I kind of like, no, this other stuff I think is better. But I thank God I listened. And that's today's message, living in the power of his resurrection. And, you know, Resurrection Sunday last week was awesome. I mean, the church was filled. We had some amazing things in our foyer. We had a photo booth and all these things. There was so much excitement. And one thing we were all proclaiming was, he is risen. Yes. Amen? But he is risen. But we got to always remember, it's not just about celebrating that Jesus rose from the grave. Amen. I mean, that's amazing in itself in our Christian walk. But it's about realizing that the risen Savior is still present. He's still speaking. And he's still changing lives today. Amen. And that's why this title is so great, because I was going to give another scripture about the resurrection, but my text is going to come from, it is from John chapter 20. So before I go into that, I just want to just touch a little bit about the week after Resurrection Sunday. Because Jesus lives, we can face tomorrow. We don't have to be trapped in fear, guilt, regret. The resurrection invites us to live differently. Amen. It's not just remembering the tomb. It's about walking every day with our living Savior. Amen. So before I start, I just want to point out a few events that happened just after the resurrection till 40 days after. And this is Jesus appearing to many. And this was about around 33 AD. And the first person that Jesus appears to, of all people, is a woman. Is Mary Magdalene. And I know some versions of the gospel also says Mary Magdalene and other women. And it's so interesting that when Jesus appeared to her, she didn't recognize him. The scripture says that she thought he was the gardener until he called her name. Then he recognized her. He also appeared to Peter. He also appeared to the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. And even the two disciples, as they were walking, they were talking about the resurrection. And they were talking about all these things that had happened. And of course, Jesus is walking alongside with them. And they conversed with him. And even the disciples did not recognize Jesus as they were walking with him. And as I read this event that was occurring, it's so amazing that, does anybody know what allowed these disciples to recognize Jesus on their Damascus trip. Can anyone say what it was that allowed them to? I know when Mary recognized Jesus, it was Jesus called out her name. But when I was reading about the Emmaus Road, it was when Jesus broke bread. Isn't that so amazing? When Jesus broke bread, the Bible says their eyes were open. And it just made us think of our communion. Remember when we do communion, we say we do this in remembrance of him. So it's so interesting that I just thank God that here at the Door of Faith, we do communion 2 times a month. And it just helps us to remember him. So I thought that was such an interesting fact, how the disciples on the Emmaus Road recognized Jesus when he broke bread. Also, he appeared to the 10 disciples just right after the resurrection. And again, a week later, he appeared to the disciples again. But this time, Thomas was there. And we all know the scripture, what happened when Thomas encountered Jesus. You know, he says, you know, I'm not going to believe unless I put my hands to the nail-scarred hands. So Jesus allows him to do all those. And at the end, I like what Jesus tells him. Stop doubting and believe. I think that's a message for each of us. We got to stop doubting and believe, because there are too many times when Jesus is just walking right next to us and we're not even recognizing him, because we're so caught up in the things of the world or whatever we're into. But we got to stop doubting and believe. And also, he appeared to the 7 disciples while they were on the Sea of Galilee fishing. And again, with the disciples, the 11 disciples, as they were on the mountain in Galilee, the Great Commission. Amen. Also, over 500 people at once. He also saw James, the brother of Jesus. And also on the 40th day after the resurrection, before he ascended to heaven, he appeared to all the apostles near the Mount of Olives. Amen. So the reason why I kind of brought that point up is just to show you that Jesus was alive after the resurrection, and that he is still alive with us today. Amen. So the week after Resurrection Sunday today brings a new question. We had all these things last week, but a new question for us to think of is, now what? Now what? Jesus is now sitting on the right hand of God the Father. Now what? Because the resurrection wasn't just meant to be that one historical moment. It was meant to transform us how we live. It was meant to transform us how we think, how we face our struggles, how we walk with God every day. The resurrection means our past does not define our future. Just remember that our past does not define our future. Our failures are not final. Our failures doesn't say who we are. And your life, our life, my life, still has purpose. I don't know what the enemy tells you about not having purpose, but your life, he was saying that to me for the longest time. I have no purpose. I don't want to, what I have to share, what I want to hear your voice, you have no purpose. But our life, no matter what, has purpose. Because even the disciples experienced that uncertainty. And they were with Jesus for over 3 years. But after the resurrection, the disciples weren't immediately fearless leaders. As when you go into the Gospels, 2 times when Jesus appeared to them on that same day of the resurrection and a week before, what were they doing? They were hiding. They were afraid. And I was thinking, how could Jesus' disciples all what they saw, all what happened after the resurrection, two times Jesus found them hiding. The main idea that I want you to get from this sermon, the big idea, is the resurrection was not meant to be celebrated. It was meant to be lived. Remember that. Celebrating is great because that's all part of our Christianity is the resurrection. But it wasn't meant to just be celebrated. It was meant to be lived. Let us move from celebration to transformation. Amen? Let me just open up with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this message that you have placed on my heart to share with your people, your sons and your daughters, about living in the power of your resurrection, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, as I unfold all these things that you have wanted your people to hear, Lord. Give us ears to hear and give us hearts to begin to apply these words in our lives. We just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. So, again, I'm going to be going over John chapter 20, verses 19, 21, and 22. So, one of the first points is the power of the resurrection brings peace to our fearful hearts. And this is what it said in John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered, they were gathered together, it says, where the disciples were together with doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. Peace be with you. Think about it. The disciples just witnessed one of the greatest miracles in history, but yet they were still afraid. I was trying to put myself in their shoes. Why were they still afraid and hiding behind locked doors? I was thinking maybe they was worried that they too might get arrested like their Savior did or face the same fate as Jesus did. You remember Peter, what he was telling Jesus? Oh, no, I would follow you to the ends of the world, or however he said it. But what happened? Jesus said, oh, that's not going to happen, you know. I'll go with you wherever you're going, to the cross. He said, you're going to deny me three times. So even in that too, when you think about it, how they were afraid, but something happened. Something happened. What happened? Jesus appeared to them, and his first words that he says to them, it's not rebuke, not like, you know, why are you guys hiding? I just rose, like I said I would. Or, you know, why didn't you just believe? But instead, he tells them, peace be with you. And I'm going to touch a little bit on that just in a few moments, because I'm not just talking about any old peace, because this resurrection peace is this calm assurance that Jesus was sharing with his disciples, this peace, because I'm alive, everything that truly matters in life has already been settled. Amen. Our salvation has our identity in who we are has been settled because of Jesus going to the cross and because of his resurrection. Amen. So that same disciples who were afraid, that same disciples later on will change the world. But what made the difference? They encountered the living Christ. That's what we need to do. We need to encounter the living Christ. We got to not allow the world. The world tries to give us peace. Think about all the things. We've all tried to experience all this in the world. Money, status, success, security, comfort, all these things that the world has to offer. But this is not the peace that Jesus was talking about to his disciples. Resurrection peace is different. Amen. Because when you think about before the cross, peace was interrupted by sin. From the moment sin entered the world, humanity lost their peace with God. Just think about it. Adam and Eve, what happened when they sinned? They hid. Just like how the disciples were hiding. And also, what happened also with Adam and Eve? Guilt replaced innocence. And how did that happen? What did they do? They tied fig leaves to hide their nakedness. Because now there was guilt and shame instead of innocence. And fear replaced fellowship with God. And what happened with that? They were kicked out of the garden. So the Old Testament sacrifice could only cover sin temporarily, but it could not remove it. Peace was promised, but it was not yet permanent. But at the cross, the peace was paid in full when Christ went to the cross. When Jesus made his powerful statement, "It is finished," that payment for sin was complete. The cross purchased our peace, and the resurrection proved that the payment was accepted. Amen? So the resurrection peace is a peace that the world or nobody can take away. And the scripture that affirms that is John 14, verse 27. And it reads, "Peace I leave with you, my peace." Remember that, it's my peace, Jesus' peace he gives to each and every one of us. It says, I do not give to you as the world gives. Stop allowing the things of the world's peace to satisfy us. Because at the end, in the beginning, it might be great. But at the end, it can't compare to the peace that Jesus says, "Of my peace." Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Why? Why is he saying that? It's because the price of that peace for each and every one of us has been paid for. That resurrection, our sins cannot return. Your guilt cannot condemn you, and your past cannot cancel your redemption. Amen? Because Jesus conquered death. Amen? So we do not have to be crippled by fear of the future, fear of the past, fear of failures, fear of sickness, and even fear in death itself. Amen? Resurrection peace means the case is closed. The debt is gone. The verdict is settled. Not guilty. Amen? Not guilty. Then I got to think, you know, being that I was in law enforcement, I got to think how the world's court system works when it comes to not guilty. Because I've had cases, is what I'm going to say, because the courts, the world system can find you not guilty. The world system can close your case. But there is something called, and I don't know if any of you guys came across in court. I hope none of you guys are in court for one thing. Is what they call dismissal without prejudice. I don't know if you ever heard that saying, dismissal without prejudice. But what that means in a little nutshell is, within a specific time, after your case has already been closed, they can go back and reopen that case and later on find you guilty. So isn't that just like Satan, who tries to point out your past sins that you have already been forgiven of? Accuser. That's what Satan, he's an accuser of the brethren. Thank you, Sister Stan. That's exactly what it is. and makes you believe that you are still found guilty. Amen. But we got to remember that the verdict is settled. It's settled because of the resurrection. It's settled. We are not guilty. Amen. So where in your life, my life, do we need the resurrection power and peace of the risen Savior today? Where in our lives? Each and every one of you, there's something that we could use, that resurrection peace and power. Amen? Because if you say you don't, that means that Satan has already got you, because every one of us has something that we need to take to the cross, to the foot of the cross. Amen? So just think of it this way. Consider the places in your life, each and every one, in our lives, that still feels like a tomb instead of a testimony. Amen? I want you to keep that to it. What places in our life still feels like we're in the grave rather than a testimony? Because the enemy is trying to keep us there. Because what does Revelation say? That we overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, of all this that we've been talking about, Passover, and the word of our testimony. Our testimony is what gives Satan a black eye. Amen? Amen. So another point I wanted to talk on about the resurrection power, it gives us new purpose. It gives us identity. Because that's one thing Satan wants to attack, is your identity, who you are. He doesn't want you to be who you are in Christ. He wants to be who you are, who your friends say, or who you are in society says, or who you are, but not who you are in Christ. But the power of the resurrection helps us when it comes to our purpose. And this is what it said in John chapter 20, verse 21. It says, after Jesus speaks peace, he immediately gives them purpose. And this is what he says. Again, Jesus says, peace be with you. There's something about this peace that Jesus says is he's giving to us. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And I think Prince was kind of talking in our prayer this morning that we are called to go out and share our gospel. And I know I'm not going to really point out, but we have a senior pastor from Canada, Pastor Edmund, sitting in the back there. So I said, how do you find about our church? He said, people are passing out tracts in Waikiki. I said, thank you, Jesus. You know, and that's what God has called us to do, he's sending us out to share the good news. Amen. Because the resurrection wasn't about just saving the disciples. It was about sending them into the world. As later we're going to, when you read in God's word, what Jesus does with his disciples. And throughout the New Testament, we see this repeated. And this is one of them when he told his disciples in Matthew 28. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And that's what he was called. And from then on, the disciples just went and spread God's gospel. From being afraid and hiding to being courageous and bold and going out to spread the gospel. And I'll touch on what allowed that to happen. Again, he says, therefore, make disciples. Amen. And also it says in Acts, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. Amen. So the resurrection transformed ordinary people, you and I, into mission-driven people, going out there and sharing God's gospel, what Jesus gave to his disciples before he ascended, the Great Commission. Amen. So before the resurrection, the disciples were hiding. They were afraid. They were uncertain. But after the resurrection, they preached boldly. They were courageous, and they carried the gospel wherever they went. Wherever they went. And this is what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, "For we are God's handiwork." This is because we encountered the risen Savior, our lives gain purpose. And it confirms here in Ephesians that we are God's handiwork. What better way for us to be encouraged to know that we are God's handiwork, created in Jesus to do good works. To do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Each and every one of us here, we're not here by accident today. God has a purpose for each and every one of us. In your workplace, with your families, in your friendships that you have, in your influences that you have with other people, the resurrection power gives us new purpose. Just remember, it gives us new purpose. And when you think about it, our purpose that I'm talking about begins when we realize that we are no longer defined by our past, as I was just saying, but by Christ. Our purpose grows when we realize our lives are not meant just to be with us only, but it's meant to go out and share with others. And our purpose grows when we realize God's power is now working in us. And I think that is something that we need to recognize, each and every one of us, of God's power working in us. And what is the first thing when you got saved? For a lot of people, of how God's power began working in your life. I know for me, it was He created in me a new heart. That's one way we know that God is working in our lives. He changes that heart. And I remember for the longest time, I just had this stony heart. I couldn't say I'm sorry to anybody. I could never apologize. I could never tell people I love you. And you think that's something, so how could that be? Because I had a heart of stone. I remember when God came into my life, when I felt His Spirit come on me, I was at this altar right over here. It was a different altar before, but on this, right here, this altar, all of a sudden, I just felt a warmth just flowing through my body. And at that time, it was the first time I ever cried in public. Never before have I ever cried, because for me, crying shows weakness. And I never cried, but at this altar, I just was sobbing profusely. I don't know what it was. I was actually getting a little scared. What's going on? What is this water coming out of my eyes? But now I know it was God changing that stony heart and making it into a heart of flesh. Because a stony heart cannot receive Christ's love. A stony heart does not have compassion. But when that heart began to change, when He began to do this open heart surgery on me, that warmth was God's love filling me. And when His love fills us, the only thing we can do is cry. And that's not tears of sadness. That's tears of joy, because that's tears of God's love filling my heart. And from then on, I became, as they say in Ephesians, I began to imitate God. It was God, that God's power reshaping my heart, helping me to live a life that reflects Christ. And then I came across this scripture, and this scripture has been really dear to me. It's from Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Imitate God, For the longest time in my life, I never, ever imitated God. It says, imitate God. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. What intimate scriptures I'm sharing with you today, that you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love and following the examples of Christ. And what better person to follow examples of than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Because over time, people began to talk to my wife because they saw this change on me. The first thing that they saw a change is when people at my work would say, "Wow, what happened to Darren? He doesn't swear anymore." And every other word was a bad word. I'm not going to even go into that. He doesn't swear anymore. So that newness in my heart, that heart of flesh that was being transforming me, changed my speech. And then the next thing was, I used to be so impatient. Lord's still kind of helping me on that area right now, but I was so impatient. And one person came up to my wife one time and said, "Wow, what's going on with Darren? He seems so calm now." I was thinking, you know, that's one thing you don't realize. People recognize this, recognize you in your attitude. So a while back, our pastor before, senior pastor of the founder of this church says, "May the life you lead, how people see you, be your greatest testimony." Think about it. So I was thinking, wow, all these things that people are seeing, the old Darren, now they see the new one. And then I became more courageous. My faith began to grow where I had no faith before. All because this transformation that I experienced of a fearful heart was the evidence of a resurrected life. And you too can have that same resurrected life. Simply put, God's power is working each and every one of us. When you start becoming the person you could never become on your own. I want you to remember that one saying. You know that God's power is working in you. When you start becoming the person you no longer could have done on your own. Because what I'm doing now and in my life, I could never have done that alone. I would never thought I would be up here preaching God's word in front of a church. I never thought in my whole life that I would become a pastor. And it's so funny, just a little testimony about becoming a pastor. I know when I was a senior in high school, I was totally into the world and drugs and everything. Just to mock God, on my senior picture that you put down, because I went to a school that had a lot of missionaries who became doctors. I went to a Seventh-day Adventist school, and a lot of them became doctors and went out into the mission field. So just to kind of mock God under what I wanted to be, I put a pastor, just to make my friends laugh about it. You know, just to make them laugh, like, "Oh, yeah, Darren, you're dealing drugs, you're doing this, but be a pastor." But God had something else. So back in 1979, he said, "Yeah, Darren, you think this is funny?" Grade two, in the 2020s, we're gonna have something reverse on what you thought was just to mock me. And I said, "Lord, I forgive you. Forgive me for that." But he turned my life around. Amen. And I know he can turn yours. Amen. And finally, this is the part that I believe the Spirit really wanted you to hear, is the resurrection power gives us new life to the Spirit. We cannot have new life without the Holy Spirit. And John chapter 20, verse 22, it says, "And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit." The moment that Jesus breathes on his disciple, the Holy Spirit, that's where their whole life changed. They were not afraid. more, when you think about it, it's symbolic. When Jesus' breath breathed on them, it's just how God in Genesis, when he created man, what did God do? It says, this is what it says in Genesis chapter 2. It says, did the Lord form a man from the dust of the ground and breathe into his nostrils the breath of life? And the man became a living being. Amen. So Genesis, God breathes physical life into humanity. And in John, Jesus breathes spiritual life into his followers. So the resurrection is not just the end of the story of the cross. It's the beginning of a new life. And each and every one of us can attest to this scripture of 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, and as I look on here, I see everyone here belongs to Christ. It says, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. As I said earlier, because of the resurrection, our past should no longer define who we are. Please, remember, the enemy always tries to define my past and make me try to look back at the old Darren. But every time that happens, I tell him where to go. Amen. Because I plead the blood. I say, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. And when we plead that blood of Jesus Christ, that past where the enemy tries to make us believe and make us try to go back, it gives us strength to overcome that. It also, our failures can no longer control us. How many times have the enemy allowed us to look back at some failures and how he allows us to kind of control our life a little bit? Tries to remember of these things that you failed, even though you have overcome it. The enemy doesn't, he's the accuser, as he was saying. He wants us always to remember the failure, even though we've overcome it. But because of the resurrection, because of that power that I want to share that you continue to use in your life, the power of the resurrection, our failures can no longer control us. The enemy can try to remind us, but because of the resurrection, it won't control us. Why? Because we have all authority. We got to remember that. When we allow the enemy to control us, it's because we are not coming with the authority that God has given each and every one of us. Because we have the authority to say, Satan, take your hands off of my life. These failures that I had in the past, I have victory already. Because every time we have victory, Satan wants us to remember our defeats. But God says, we are victorious in Christ Jesus, and our sins can no longer condemn us. Our sins can no longer condemn us. Thank you, Jesus, for washing my sins away. Think about it. The same power that raised Jesus from the grave now lives in us. How powerful is that? I can't even comprehend how that's even possible. But his word, I know it's possible because why? His word tells us. And as if his word tells us, it's yea and amen. So his power lives in each and every one of us. And this is not just resurrection power around us. It's resurrection power within us. Amen. So just remember that. And I would like to share this last important Bible verse. And as the Spirit was sharing about living in the power of the resurrection, this scripture popped up. I said, Lord, thank you. This is the perfect scripture to go with the title of this message. And it's found in Romans 8:11. It talks about living in the power of the resurrection. And the big idea that I shared with you earlier, that the resurrection was not just meant to be celebrated, it was meant to be lived, to let us move from celebration to transformation. And this is what it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. And it says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you." Amen. So that just affirms this title that the Spirit was giving me to share with you, to let you know that because of his spirit, God's spirit, Jesus living in us, not the spirit of the world, but his spirit is living in each and every one of us. So that's what helps us to live a transformation life through his resurrection. Amen? So I want to share with you a closing illustration. I want you just kind of picture as I paint this illustration for you. Just imagine a man who has spent years in prison. One day the prison door, this is almost like a Paul and Silas. One day the prison doors are all unlocked. The guards are all gone. The gates are open. But the man keeps sitting in his prison cell. Think about that. You're a prisoner. All of a sudden, your prison doors are open. The gates to the prisons are open. But he sits in his prison cell. It's not because he must, because he was put there for a reason. But that's not the reason. It's because he doesn't realize he's free. Many Christians think like that. Christ's resurrection unlocked our prison door. His resurrection unlocked our prison doors. But there's still times that we feel like the grave has power over us. We got to remember that when he said it is finished, and when that stone was rolled away, our life that we had that was in the grave is now has been resurrected. So we are still no longer in that grave. When that prisoner, when that door opened, God is telling us, walk out. We need to step out of that grave. We need to walk out of that grave, because too many of us is keeping one foot in the grave and one foot out. And when you do that, you're still in the grave. Because there's still one foot there. Even though one foot is out, we got to just bring up. Not like the prisoner who still remains. We need to step out with both feet. Step out of that grave. Because why? The stone has rolled away. The grave has no power over us. This one leg in is allowing us the enemy to give power. We want to get. Amen? Get that leg out of that grave. Don't allow the enemy to tell you what to do. Why? Because the tomb is empty. The stone is rolled away. And Jesus is alive. Amen? Amen. That is just all to just shout about. But the question this week after the resurrection is not, did Jesus rise? The question is, are we living like he did? Amen. That same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the power that can raise your dead faith. It's the power that can mend your broken heart. It's that power that can raise your weary souls. But the resurrection power begins with surrender. Saying, Lord, you know, as when we lift up our hands, we're saying, Lord, I surrender. I surrender, Lord. Whatever it is, we surrender because as we get to surrender the things, it begins when we finally say, Jesus, I don't want to just admire that empty tomb. I want the risen Savior to change my life. Amen. And whatever that is, everyone here has something that we can allow the risen Savior to change. There's none excluded. Something that when the risen Savior changes our life, maybe here today you may realize, you know, I celebrated Resurrection Sunday last week, but I've never surrendered my life to the risen Savior. Or maybe you know how, know him, you know who he is, you worship him, you read his word, but somewhere along the way, you went back to the grave. Whatever those things are in your life, back to old habits, back to old fears, old ways of living. But today, our risen Savior is calling you. Just like how he called Mary, he is calling each and every one of us today. So right now, if you want to step into the power of the resurrection, a resurrected life, if you want forgiveness, a new purpose, or a fresh start, I'm going to invite you to do something courageous. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward, not because walking forward saves us, not because as we come forward that it's any significance. The only thing is you're coming forward because sometimes the most powerful moment in a person's life is when they step out of our old life and begin to step towards Jesus. That first step as we begin to step towards him is the beginning of a new life. Amen. So today, if you want to say, Jesus, I give you my life. Jesus, I need a new beginning. Jesus, I want to live a resurrected life. I invite you to come up to the altar. The tomb is empty. Our Savior is alive. And today, resurrection life can begin for you today. Amen? So let me end with a prayer. And as I pray, if you feel a spirit tugging on your heart, come step forward. And if there's something you want to give to him, you want to thank him, or if you say, Lord, I need you in my life, I want you to just come forward. And if you want, one of our pastors will be up here praying with you. But Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this message of living the life of the power of your resurrection, Lord. I know right now you're speaking to some hearts right now as they're sitting in their chair, Lord. But Lord, we just ask you right now as they're talking with their spirit, but Lord, just allow them to be courageous. Stand up and step forward and lay the things that they need to lay upon the foot of your altar. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. And Lord, we just give you praise and we give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everyone. And thank you for those online for joining us. Until next week, ahui ho kako. Amen.